So my sisters and brothers, I want to first just offer a prayer of support and love for all of the people of our detention ministry. This week is the Detention Ministry Justice Week, and we are especially connected and tethered to that because of our work through much of the leadership here at St. Monica's, and also with the many volunteers who go to Camp Miller, and Eileen, you go to Camp Kilpatrick as well. So there, but you're here to be honored today and to pray with this community of faith because your work is an extraordinary work. And I'm personally very grateful to you, Tom, because at every, Tom Blights is the person that coordinates it for the diocese and is a member of our parish. But every Christmas on that Sunday before, he allows me to go and offer Mass at those two places. It's the most perfect preparation that I have to come back and face you on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And then on Easter Saturday, on the day of Easter, Saturday of Easter, again, he allows me to come and we celebrate Mass for those two wonderful communities. And it's just such a blessing. And you are the people of this great story, of this gospel. Because just like that, Father, you reach out to those who are lost and separated and distanced and need more than anyone in our church, I think, that care and that love. So if you don't mind standing, we would just like to thank you in a special way on this great day. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So folks, we've got this incredible gospel tonight. It's the gospel of Lent. And I think if we could just take a few moments, I want it to be done in word and I want it to be in song tonight. And Patrick, who comes from time to time and is a great man of voice, is going to sing something for us that I think will reflect in even a deeper way what I hope to share with you now. But let me just start by saying that there are parts of this gospel of the prodigal son that I, you know, every year when you read it, hopefully we read it with something new, maybe a new insight, some little fresh thought. So let me give you a couple of fresh thoughts that I have, and then I want to talk about the three people who are the featured folks in that gospel tonight, the two sons and the father. First of all, what I noticed this year was when the younger son comes and asks his father for the fortune, his father doesn't just take one half and hand it over to the son. He says he divides it and distributes it to them. So he gives away everything. This father decides, even though it's a terrible sign in the Jewish tradition of disrespect, because if you want your fortune, that's saying, Dad, you're dead. Goodbye. That's what it really means. So it's an insult that a son would want what will come to him after his father's death, and in some way it's intimating, we want you out of here. So, but the father doesn't let that, he doesn't get angry about that. He divides his fortune and he gives to both of his children what was to come upon their death. Now that's tough. I couldn't do that. I don't know if you could, maybe you can because you have your children, but that's tough. That to me is right at the beginning that the story is more about the father than it is about those two kids. It's about the prodigal love of this father. Then I noticed in the gospel today that I hadn't noticed before, this incredible insight that when the son comes back, it's a fattened calf. It's the fattened calf. It's not this little lean-to that they have where they can get maybe a little morsel of meat off the bone. It's the calf. It's the calf that's used for Passover. They would always choose one that would be fatten and plump and sweet. And that's the calf that they would use for that great. So the father is literally taking the calf that will be used for Passover, for the great feast, meaning that he has to invite the whole community, the whole village has prepared this. And so the whole village has got this at stake. So this is a party, folks. It's a party with the fattened lamb. The lamb that is the symbol of the Passover of the Lord. So that's a second thought that I never really gave much thought to. And then finally, I think this story, while we know it's about the prodigal son, some would suggest it's more about the older brother, Most of us would suggest it's about the Father. It's also about the party. It's about the celebration. So it's really about how do we come to living in our lives a spirit that's joyful, a spirit that's alive, a spirit that's like that celebration that's given to us in this gospel today. So let's back to it now and see if it makes sense to you. It made sense to me when I thought it in my head, so let's see if it makes sense as we hear it out. The sun. What I see in the gospel is the two kinds of sin. The son, the younger son. Now, most of you probably wouldn't even think about this. But the younger son is the guy who's out among them. And his sin is the sin of the flesh. It's the addictions of our life. It's the struggles of our life. It's the, you know, all the things when we roll around and get into all kinds of difficulties. That's the sin of the son. And the result of his sin provides for us something that's very precious. Because what happens to this kid, having been given the fortune, having been given the opportunity, the freedom to go out and do anything he wanted to do, it finally dawns on him, real joy, real happiness is not found there. It's found when we struggle with our sin, when we struggle with our addictions, when we struggle with the things that can take us down, and we see that when we come to a belief that it's not my power but the power of God in me that can change me and make me a better person, when I recognize that, as I think the son did, what flows out of that kind of a life is gratitude and compassion. If we have sinned in our lives, if we made mistakes in our life, pastor's done that. The result of that is always, if we embrace it, if we let God really enter into that darkness, if we can then, by His grace, make a difference in our lives, what comes out of that is a compassion for people, a compassion and a care for people who struggle, a compassion and a care for people who don't get it right the first time, a compassion and a care for people who need a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chance. That's what it does. So that's why this son goes back, not saying, "Hey, Dad, I'm back." He goes back and he says, "Father, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against my family. Don't treat me as a son. Treat me as your servant." So he's found that humility. He's found the grace of God. And there's a compassion now in his life that makes the difference always, always, always. On the other side of it is this son. And Rembrandt's got this incredible painting. I don't know if you know it, but it's one of his last paintings. And the son, the father stooped over to the son, to the young son, and his hands are beautiful and his face is beautiful. And it's an incredible painting. But there on the side is that son, the elder son, and his hands are like this. He's tight, all bound up. The son is resentful. You see, it strikes me that his approach is not so much the compassion of God, the care of God, the grace of God. It's, I worked hard. I've done this. I have been this to you. So I, because of my work and my effort and my goodness, I have a right to this. Gosh, that's a terrible way to live life. If you're a sinful person and you're in the mess of life, you're going to miss the party. You're partying, but it's the wrong party. But this man will never, he never goes into the house, never celebrates. He's outside. He's disdaining. He's judging. He's resentful. And I think, my brothers and sisters, I found myself on both ends of that. At times begging for the mercy of God, and then at times being so tough and so harsh and so judgmental. So I think my question tonight is, what does all that mean? Well, I think it means two things. I think it means that our world, I think our world and our lives are at times, and I hate to use this word because I'm probably as much a hypocrite as anyone that walks the face of the earth, but it's hypocritical. When someone does something wrong, we never let them forget it. Every story, every byline, every message returns to the sin. Always. We never, never allow people to forget their mistakes. There's something wrong in that. That isn't what this Christ and this gospel and this message is about. Yes, it's about our sin. Yes, it's about our struggle, even about our resentments. But it's coming to finally believe in this incredible, amazing grace of our Father. So, brothers and sisters, I just think that it's so important for us to capture that. First, to recognize ourselves in both ends of that life, because it happens to all of us, to most of us, not all of us, most of us. But to see in the power and the gift of this Father what it means to be invited ultimately and finally to the feast. If you want to live a joyful life, if you want to be happy in life, then you must not stay in your past sins. Don't let those things overwhelm you. Do not let them prevent you from being whoever God calls you to be. They could be a preventative, because we might find out. If we find out, we'll get you. That's what happens. That's our mind. Don't let that bother you. We can't live in those mistakes. We must live in the power and the gift of God. And on the other hand, we cannot let the resentments of our lives so take us away that it prevents us from seeing the gift, grace, the amazing grace of this loving God. So what I'm going to do this week, I don't know what you're going to do, but this week I'm going to try to meet people who I see joy in their lives. I want to find out what makes you tick. Why are you happy? Why do you live with that sense of well-being? I'd say they're few and far between, to be honest with you. Most people are miserable. That's not true. But I mean, there are a lot of people that are miserable. All kinds of things are wrong. And I'll bet you, when I talk to them, got one already tonight that I'm going to speak to, I'll bet you it's someone who's come to see that the words of this gospel, "I once was lost, now I'm found. I once was lost, now I'm found. So far away, but I'm home now. I once was lost, now I'm found."
I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was lost, but now so far away, but I'm home now. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And now my life song sings, once was blind, but now I see. I once was blind, but now I see. I don't know how, but when he touched me, I once was blind, but now I see. Let my life